It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
20 seconds remaining as the penalty is over. Held in by Hoffman. Extra attacker still on for the Sharks. Granlund swings one all the way across the ice. And there's Addison to Hoffman. The shot, the save, Duclair! It's blocked. 8 seconds to go. Maybe one more chance. Hoffman stops it. Stick handles. Shoots. That's a huge block by Duhaime. One more chance. Hoffman shoots. Blocked again. This game is over. Well, Brandon Duhaime, one of the heroes, a big block, but Kirill Kaprizov is the man of the hour, scoring the hat trick for the Minnesota Wild. And the Sharks take a disappointing loss here in regulation, 4-3. They were outshot 32-15 by Minnesota, and they fell just short.
Well, when you don't have it, you got to find a way to hang around. I thought that's what we did. You know, I thought we hung around, we battled. I thought the third period was probably our best period of the night. But we kind of got ourselves together, spent a little bit more time in the old zone. You know, we just battled, and it was just unfortunate, you know. They got Kaprizov and we don't. That really was the difference in the game tonight. He scores goals that a lot of guys can't score in this league.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? The Sharks unable to walk away with 1 point or two out of the game in Minnesota. Second night of a back-to-back. The Sharks looked a little bit sleepy in that first period. Both teams did, coming off of back-to-backs, obviously, or the second day of back-to-backs. But I give them credit. They fought their way through it. They gave themselves a chance. And ultimately for this Sharks team, I think that it's the fight that you're looking for as opposed to the be-all, end-all result. If you're expecting wins, flashy performances, you probably haven't been watching the Sharks team much all year long. But I thought it was an entertaining game, A. And B, I thought that it gave, you know, just what you hope for in the second night of a back-to-back where, yes, both teams were pretty quiet in the first period. But after that, the Sharks got going. And then the Sharks were taking advantage of their good opportunities. They certainly were not getting a lot of shots off. I think that's pretty easy to understand. And that's just kind of their narrative this year. They're not a high shot volume team, but they made them count. I give them credit. They took the early lead off of Granlund on a power play goal, and then Nico Sturm had the shorthanded goal. And it seems like if you're up 2-0, which includes a power play and a shorthanded goal, and you're winning the special teams battle like that, you would hope to be able to stretch it out a little bit more. But once again, you know, the issue that we've seen all year long of the Sharks giving up the bang bang goals. You know, suddenly at 5:46 of the second, they're giving up a goal. It's 2-1. And then a minute and 15 seconds later, they're giving up Kaprizov. He's getting another goal. It's 2-2. And then, yes, you have the early strike from Anthony Duclair, but they could not hold on to that lead for long, as about 2 minutes later, Kaprizov gets his second of the night. And then you get the hat trick from Kaprizov as he scores 16 minutes into the third. Kaprizov is an incredible player. And I do agree with David Quinn. He was saying, yeah, Kaprizov was the difference maker in this game. And right now, that's the difference between the Sharks and the Wild right now, is they have a true difference maker. One of the reasons the Sharks had more wins a year ago is they had difference makers like Erik Karlsson and Timo Meier. And if you go back to previous times of the San Jose Sharks, when they were in contention for, you know, almost two decades, it felt like, you know, you had Joe Thornton, you had Patrick Marleau, you had Logan Couture, you had Tomas Hertl, you had Timo Meier, you had Brent Burns, you had Joe Pavelski, you had Dan Boyle. I mean, you just go down the list of all the star players the San Jose Sharks had, and they were nowhere near the ice tonight. Even the two stars they do have in Logan Couture and a player like Tomas Hertl, both of which have the ability to be difference makers, they're not in this game. And when you have a player like Kaprizov out there who can be a difference maker, I mean, the biggest issue for a difference maker is out there on the ice. And the Sharks weren't out there. So, yeah, that's a big factor in this one. And Kaprizov is a great, great player in the prime of his career. And so they had the advantage of having that player on the ice that the Sharks did not have in this game. But, you know, I look at the entirety of the game. The Sharks gave it a good effort, and that's what I'm hoping for at this point. And, you know, at this point, we're 4 days away from the trade deadline. There is a lot of chatter. There's a lot going on. I'm sure it's affecting all the guys. You have a second night of a back-to-back where you've got a game the night before and you fly from Dallas to Minneapolis. Yeah, that's going to take it out of you. I mean, that's going to be a tiring process all in all. But the Sharks have handled it well and showed up to play, found their legs after a sleepy first period for both teams, and gave themselves a chance. So we flash back to Tuesday night's game this past week against New Jersey when they lost 7-2. Yeah, they did not give themselves a chance. And then even in the game against Anaheim, they made too many mistakes. They did not have the greatest night from Kapo. They didn't do enough in that game to get themselves an opportunity to win. For the Sharks, it's not about getting themselves a win. It's about giving themselves an opportunity. And a lot of games lately, they have not given themselves an opportunity. But in the last two games in particular, they've been able to give themselves a chance. I think that's the most important thing, is in the 3-2 shootout loss to Dallas, in which they got a point, they gave themselves a chance. In the 4-3 loss to Minnesota last night, they gave themselves a chance. And I am very much looking forward to how they perform on this three-game homestand with Dallas, the Islanders, and Ottawa coming into town, because I think that, you know, Dallas, they just had a really good performance against. I'd like to see how they do in their own building. The Islanders, not world beaters, in my opinion, in the game of the Sharks, have a chance of getting a win in. And then Ottawa, I think that's a game where the Sharks are thinking they should have won when they were on the road. So we'll see what sort of a performance they provide when they're back at it. But, you know, the Sharks schedule throughout the month of March, again, it stays busy. It's darn near every other day. And then after that three-game homestand, they go out on the road at Philadelphia, at the Pens, at Columbus, at Chicago, at Nashville, before they're home for three against Tampa, Chicago, and Dallas again. Then they're at Minnesota and at St. Louis to end the month. So yeah, month of March is going to keep us busy and keep us occupied. But let's go back and take a listen to some of the highlights from today's game, as it was the San Jose Sharks who struck first.
Off the faceoff, won by the Sharks. Addison keeps in on his offside, a right-handed shot. Cues to skate to keep it in play. Dumped it down into the corner. Now there's a three-man scramble. Zetterlund worked it free. Shoots one on that same bay. Hoffman to drive. It's blocked in front. Might have gone off the post. Faber couldn't clear it. Kept in by Granlund. Moves into the circle. Shoots. Score! Mikhail Granlund gave the puck with eyes. Up top to the top corner. And it gets by Gustafson. What a brilliant shot by Granlund. Great pressure by the Sharks. And Mikhail Granlund, the former Wild center, makes it 1-0 San Jose with a power play goal.
Great screen there from Duclair, as well as Granlund goes short side and really just snipes through a crowd. Just an awesome shot from Granlund, and the Sharks had the early 1-0 lead, and they added on to that with a shorty from Nico Sturm.
But here comes Faber, puts it off to right boards to a trailing Boldy. He'll skate to center, drop for Kaprizov, stick handles across the line, throws to the right wing corner boards, and Eriksson Ek flings it around, but it's off the stick of Boldy, and Sturm takes off. Sharks have a 2-on-1. Sturm and Zetterlund. Sturm moves in, shoots, score! Nico Sturm shorthanded, a shot from the right wing side, and the Sharks make it 2-0 with their third shorthanded goal of the year.
Great delay from Sturm as he looked off for a moment before he decided to pull the trigger. And the Sharks at that point were cruising, but I was thinking to myself, okay, this team is up 2-0, but they're on the second night of a back-to-back. How much pushback are they going to have? And what are we going to see from Minnesota, who are also on the second night of a back-to-back, although they had an afternoon game. So I was thinking, okay, how is this going to go from here on out? And as I feared, Minnesota did come storming back.
Sharks can't clear. Brodin to Chisholm. Walks to the right circle. Bobbles it. Recovers. Moves on Zetterlund. Now to Gaudreau. Shoots. Score! Well, Frederick Gaudreau wasn't even supposed to be playing today as of last night, but because Matt Zuccarello couldn't play, they had to put him in. And with 42 seconds left on the Wild power play, Minnesota, Frederick Gaudreau makes it a 2-1 game for the Sharks.
I'll be honest, I didn't hate that one. I just wondered what was going to happen next. Is it going to be the team that shuts it down, or is it going to be the team that gives up a bang-bang goal right after the fact in the next 2 minutes that takes all the wind out of their sails and breathes life into Minnesota? And unfortunately, as I feared, it was the latter of those two options.
LeBanc gets the headman feed, pokes it across the line, but he's knocked off the play there by the Minnesota defensive player Dewar. It's a lead pass, breakaway, Kaprizov, score! Right after LeBanc lost the puck on the play in the offensive zone, Minnesota threw it right up the middle, and Kaprizov just kind of playing a little cat-and-mouse game with the Sharks' defense, caught that puck right at the blue line, and with that great speed, accelerated in on the breakaway and tied it 2-2 with a spectacular goal for Minnesota. It's all even.
That was the stretch pass more so than the breakaway, so I didn't hate it quite as much, but I didn't exactly love it. I was not particularly enamored with that goal. But then the Sharks, Anthony Duclair, early in the third.
Off the faceoff here. Here's a tip by Duclair. He's going to have a break. He moves in with speed into the zone. Shoots. He scores! Anthony Duclair blocks a pass across the ice by Brock Faber. He races all alone down the middle of the ice, gets to the puck first, and beats Gustafson to put the Sharks in front. 3-2, 23 seconds into the third. What a play.
Yeah, so Duclair has been very hot since the break, and at this point, the Sharks, I loved the pushback. And at this point, you're thinking, this is a pretty entertaining game, especially after that first period where it was just like, Lord, this is not going to be a very exciting game. I also, you know, when I think back about this one of the things that kind of flew under the radar was the fact that William Eklund was out due to illness. I don't know if he would have been the difference maker for the Sharks in this game, but he, like Anthony Duclair, has been scoring as of late, so it's one fewer option that you have out there on the ice. And, you know, I'm not trying to say that he's Kaprizov or anything like that, but yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to have him out there as well. But Anthony Duclair feels like he has not been slowing down at all as of late. He kept up hot, got the goal for the Sharks here. And at this point, it was just going to be a race to the finish because you knew that three was probably not going to be enough. And with Kaprizov on the other side of the ice, that was accurate.
Here could be trouble. Minnesota moves into the Sharks' end. Thrun couldn't clear it out. Ruda got knocked down in front, but he poked near boards. Now it's centered in front. They score! And who else? Kaprizov getting the pass from Boldy, and he wasted absolutely no time whatsoever in letting that shot go top corner, and Kaprizov's second goal ties the game at 3.
At this point, the Sharks just looked a little bit too tired, a little bit too out of gas, a little bit not enough in the tank, and I was concerned. I was hoping for a burst. I was hoping for some sort of a greater pushback than what they'd shown after they took a 3-2 lead early in the third, but that was not what happened. And unfortunately, with Kaprizov having the game that he was having, it felt like another was coming, and that happened.
Off the draw. Minnesota wins in the Sharks zone. Bogosian sends down the wing to Kaprizov in the corner, bodied up by Vlasic, but he skirts away, throws it toward the net from the boards. Save Kakin and rebound, just poked wide. In front, Kaprizov, score! He gets the hat trick, and he puts the Wild in front, 4-3, with 3:59 to play. An unbelievable effort by Minnesota's superstar.
You knew it was going to be tough for the Sharks to respond in the final bit there, and they were not able to. And it's unfortunate because I do appreciate the way that the Sharks played in this game. I didn't think that Kapo was at his best, but he was better than he was in the game the other day against Anaheim. And for me, what I am looking for from Kapo is to make the exceptional saves. And I did think he came up with some big stops, and there were some plays that he didn't have a chance on. He wasn't my problem in this game. He could have been a little bit better, and I'm sure most goalies will tell you that after every game. But, you know, the Sharks, I think, just looked like they didn't have quite enough in the tank to pull that one off. And that's how it's going to go sometime. If this were a better Sharks team, if this were a contending team, I think you would probably brush this one off and think, okay, the Sharks are on the second night of a back-to-back. It's not that big of a deal. But unfortunately for San Jose, this is at a period of when they have only won one game since the start or the return from the All-Star break. That means they've lost 8 out of 9, and they've now once again lost 7 in a row, and that's starting to creep towards double digits. And like I said, the month of March does not get necessarily less busy. It's still a heavy schedule. Dallas on Tuesday night, that's going to be a tough game. And the Islanders, it's a winnable game, in my opinion, for the Sharks, but it's still going to be a tough game. Ottawa on the Saturday afternoon, that too is a tough game. So for the Sharks, they definitely have their work cut out for them. But know, again, you look at the efforts that you saw in Dallas and in Minnesota. I don't think you're too broken up about those. I think you feel like the Sharks gave themselves a good opportunity. They could have had 2 points against Dallas. They could have had two or one against Minnesota. It didn't go down that way, but they still gave themselves a chance. And to me, that's the most important thing, especially in light of the way they played against New Jersey last Tuesday night. That's the one they're trying to get out of their system. That's the one that you thought they had moved on from. That was a stinker of a game, especially when it's close enough in proximity to the 4-0 loss that they had against Vegas. Even though their effort in that game was okay, it just was not a well-executed game. You know, those are the ones you're trying to get away from. You're trying to get towards the games where you give yourselves the opportunities to win. And in Dallas and in Minnesota, they did most definitely do that. And you can also look back at the game against the Ducks, which was flawed, but still was a performance where they had a good effort. They just were not their best on that night. And Anaheim seems to have separated themselves from where the Sharks are for the time being in terms of being towards the bottom of the standings. Yes, the Sharks are down there, but you know the Ducks have about 10 points now at this point of the season. So they seem to be a tier better than where San Jose and Chicago are right now. All right, on the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. You are listening to Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Backhand pass ahead to Boldy. He's on the left wing, cross the line, diagonal pass, overskated by Erickson Ek, but Kaprizov steals from Zetterlin, grabs it back for Boldy. He turns and shoots, stick save made. Kaprizov backhander, save made by Kekkonen, and we get the whistle. 4:12 into this first period, no score. Good pressure by the Wild. They're out shooting the Sharks, 4-1 at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this has been the trend, as you guys have watched. I mean, we've just, you know, we have some stinkers every now and then, but every team in this league does. And I just really like how we battle back. We haven't let, you know, a game like New Jersey roll into, you know, two games or three games like that. We kind of, you know, dust ourselves off and get back at it. And, it's a great sign.
I do give the Sharks a lot of credit for not letting the losses deteriorate the morale of the team. I felt that even then, the 11-game losing streak to start the season, the 12-game losing streak that they had from December into January, I felt that they've always been able to keep their head up and continue to put forth what I would feel are pretty good performances. And yes, the Sharks have had some this year that are not in line with what you would hope. Most recently, the 7-2 loss to New Jersey. There was the loss in Toronto. There were the two 10-goal games against Pittsburgh and Vancouver. There was the game at Seattle. They are going to have bad games. I don't think that's any surprise to anyone because the Sharks are in a rebuild and they are trying to make themselves a part of the NHL contending conversation sooner rather than later. And that means you have to be bad for a little while. But again, I've seen a lot of rebuilding teams in the overall NHL landscape as of late. And in my work with sports, I've been around rebuilding teams for, you know, well, since before I can remember. And the morale of this team compared to some of the others that I've been around, I would say is pretty good. And obviously there have been times where the guys have been hanging their head, where they've gotten down on themselves, where they look defeated. And I think that all things given, that's pretty understandable, but we've not seen the breakdown between the guys out there on the ice. We have not seen the arguing. We have not seen the infighting. I think from my perspective, I've seen things looking very good and rather positive compared to what it could be like. And I remember it was, you know, I guess I think 2 years now when they showed an image one time of Logan Couture and Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson kind of arguing on the bench. And people were saying, oh, look at this. And I'm thinking, no, that's good. They cared. They made a mistake out there on the ice. I would rather see guys barking at each other and no one made an issue of it. And, you know, Erik Karlsson talked about he and Brent Burns being good friends, you know, after leaving the Sharks, because it's none of our business what they are off the ice, honestly. But, you know, those guys, they want to win. Even when they are in a down period of a franchise, they wanted to win. They wanted to give themselves a great performance. And yeah, guys are going to yell at each other from time to time. They're going to lose their tempers with each other. But that's not the same as the infighting and the type of a mentality that can tear a team down. I haven't seen that at all evidence with this Sharks team. I've seen a team that has a desire to keep on trying to go out there and put themselves in the line of fire every single night against teams they know that are better than them on paper. And that's a hard thing to do. The Sharks are not going to be picked as the favorite in any games, I don't think, from here to the end of the season. But they still give themselves a fighting chance. They still give themselves an opportunity to go out there and win. So, again, I give them a lot of credit in that capacity. More from David Quinn talking about the team's response since that bad loss to New Jersey.
Absolutely. You know, from the Anaheim game to last night to today, it just, you know, there's some characteristics you need to have as a team, you know, and there's only so much you can control, and you got to be really good at what everybody can do. And, you know, putting forth an effort, and, you know, again, tonight wasn't a great night for us. You can see we didn't have it, you know, physically, but we hung around long enough.
And again, that's the Sharks giving themselves a chance. You've got to give yourself a chance in these games. You got to give yourselves the opportunity to get a point, to get 2 points. The Sharks had a chance in this game to get a point, to get 2 points. They had a 2-0 lead. They had a 3-2 lead in the third period. It's tough on the second night of a back-to-back on the road when you've got a player like Kaprizov on the other side of the ice. You would have loved more offense, but the Sharks are not an offensively stellar team this year. I don't think I'm surprising anybody with that, but getting 3 goals has not always been easy for the Sharks this year, so I give them credit with being able to do so, because you look at the loss to Vegas, they scored none. You look at the loss to the Preds, they scored 2. The loss to New Jersey, they scored 2. They only had 2 versus Dallas. They did score 4 versus Anaheim, and then they got 3 in that game yesterday versus Minnesota. So, you know, the offense showing a little bit more signs of life in the last 2 out of 3 games, the Dallas game being the 2-goal effort once again. And, you know, it's been hard for the Sharks to get more than 3 goals this year. That has not been a frequent occurrence. And so, you know, for them to keep games close like Dallas when they can only score 2, I give them a lot of credit. And then, you know, getting 3 in this one when they don't have Tomas Hertl and they don't have Logan Couture, when they don't have William Eklund, guys you would consider to be offensive weapons and that which would help the attack, it makes life that much more difficult. And again, on the second night of a back-to-back, when they were very, very sleepy, for lack of a better term, I believe that was what Randy Hahn said about the first period during the broadcast, it was a good fight from the Sharks. It was a good fight, and I hope that they bring that same type of fight Tuesday night against Dallas at the Tank. Now, the energy that the Sharks had throughout the game, not a lot of it in the first period, a good amount in the second period, but then in the third period, reared its head again. You could tell after they scored that goal from Anthony Duclair, there just wasn't a lot there. Quinn was asked about that third period after the loss.
Yeah, I thought a lot of, you know, throughout the night, I thought the theme was we weren't ready to make the next play. You know, I thought we'd get pucks in situations, and there wasn't a lot of anticipation to our game. And, you know, at this level, that really is what defines playing fast. A lot of people think it's skating fast, but more than anything, it's ready to make the next play and how fast can you execute it. And, you know, that's where I thought we were slow tonight.
Fair assessment. The inability to have that mental accuracy to quickly make the next play is also indicative of fatigue of playing from one night to the next. I thought that the Sharks, again, had a little bit of that pop and that verve in the second period, but it was not there in the third period, unfortunately, which is relatively expected. And Minnesota had more wind at their sails. Again, not a terrible night from the Sharks, but like Quinn said, you know, they didn't look ready to make that next play. It seemed like there was a little bit too much hesitation at times. And that's, again, not a surprise on the second night of a back-to-back, but it is something that you would like to see them improve upon and see what they can do against Dallas. It's like if you are working with your teammates, if you have a good idea, good chemistry, you know where they're going to be, try and find out what's going to be happening next. Try and figure out where they're going to be. Try and figure out, you know, where you're going with the puck before it comes to you. And I know that seems relatively obvious, but, you know, sometimes in those games, you can have another team whose defensive structure throws you off and you have a little bit of trouble figuring out what your next play is going to be. Well, that's what the intermission is for. See what they're doing, figure it out, and go to those next steps. Those are the adjustments that we talk about. It's not just about, you know, the coach giving you a pat on the back or screaming at you. It's about figuring out what's working, what's not working, and what you can do to make greater breakthroughs in terms of your offensive game and defensive as well, but how you can improve to one period to the next. Quinn also weighed in on Kapo's night.
He played well. I thought he had a good night. You know, like I said, this guy snipes pucks like nobody. And, you know, you give that guy time and space tonight, and he gets 3.
Yes, time and space for Kaprizov is going to be a problem for every single team and every single netminder in the NHL, not just Kapo. Nico Sturm spoke after the game 3 different times. The Sharks were in the lead, but they were unable to hold on. His thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a lot of energy today. I think you could see that we're Ovechkin wasn't as effective as last night, which is, you know, normal at CNHL. He played tough back-to-back. But I thought for the most part, we we played extremely well today, and we managed the game because we knew we, you know, we weren't at our best energy wise today. I thought obviously, you know, take a couple too many penalties, and maybe at the end of the day, it's just that one play where you're maybe not quite as fresh, and it's in the back of the net. It's frustrating because I thought this was an extremely good road trip by our team, and you know the way we played the last two games, and I'm proud of the boys with the adversity that we faced. I know we showed up.
Sturm is a former teammate of Kirill Kaprizov and talked about what he saw throughout the game and that hat trick from the superstar.
Yeah, he's, you know, an elite player, and I think that third goal was kind of, you know, that's him. He gets lost in the, you know, as the third guy high, and there's a, like a puck battle, and it's a scrum, and he's got that smarts. The smarts where he just waits for the puck to kind of squirt out to him, and he's in the right spot, and obviously he's stuff like that. So, you know, he's one of the best players in this league, and I think, you know, three goals tonight showed why.
Yeah, he definitely showed why. A hat trick is a good way, a good example of how good a player can be. More from Sturm talking about the Sharks' inability to hold on to that 2-0 lead, giving up goals less than 90 seconds apart once again.
Yeah, very disappointed. Obviously, it's part road trip where I thought we actually played to one of our best games of the year and come away with 1 point. I think especially today, it was sloppy today. I think by both teams, you could tell that both teams have played last night. And, yeah, we definitely should have found a way today to at least come away with a point in the bank there. We didn't manage, unfortunately, so often this year.
More from Nico talking about being a previous teammate of Kaapo Kähkönen with the Wild and seeing Kaapo go against his former team for the first time last night. He asked about Kaapo's growth from that period with Minnesota to where he is now with the Sharks.
Yeah, I know he was eager to play that game. I was waiting for a while to get his chance to play against me. And I think it's tough for a goalie, a game like today where, you know, we come in extremely late. Guys aren't feeling well. You know, we got a little sickness going through the team as well. And he knows going into the game, he's probably going to face a lot of shots. I thought he did his job extremely well today. Gave us a chance to come over some points.
Yeah, and I didn't think that was the greatest game ever from Kaapo, but I didn't think he was the issue specifically in any way, shape, or form. And like you heard David Quinn, and like you heard from Nico there talking about Kaprizov, yeah, he snipes. He gets any time in space, he's going to make you pay for it. He's one of the best players in the NHL. He is a legit superstar, and he will punish teams. He will punish goalies. It doesn't matter, you know, who you are, he's going to find a way to score goals, and that's, you know, that's what makes a superstar, that it, in certain situations, he is not going to be stopped no matter how good the opposition is playing. And Nico also weighed in on the virus and the fatigue that's been hitting the team.
I mean, it's a factor, but it's not an excuse. You know, like they played on the road as well last night. But yeah, obviously you got like Tommy, Cooch. Now we got Ekki, who's playing extremely well. We got all those guys out. Yeah, of course it's a factor. We're missing like three of our best players, and you know, I think especially in these tight games, these situations where one play can decide, you know, a hockey game. You saw it with their best player today. He made that play, and then of course missing those guys was obvious.
Yeah, both Dan and Hedy and Randy sounded fine in last night's broadcast, but I think you could also hear that Drew sounded like he was battling a bit of a cold, and yeah, that's ripping through the team. That's going to make life difficult, and you don't want to have anybody under the weather. Hopefully, everybody's okay by the time Tuesday's game against Dallas does roll around. All right, we're just about out of time on this morning's edition of Morning Tide. Taking a look at the standings right now, Chicago is still 1 point worse than San Jose, 35 on the year versus 36 for San Jose. And so right now, those are your two front runners for the number one overall pick in this upcoming draft. Obviously, we are going to be paying attention to everything that's going on with the trade deadline happening this week, March 8th on Friday at noon our time. If any activity does go down, if anything happens, we will bring you all the coverage. We will be talking about it here on the Sharks Audio Network, especially, you know, depending on how big it is, how small. We'll keep you covered. And then we'll be back with you Tuesday afternoon as we get ready for the Sharks to play host to Dallas. It'll be good to be back at the Tank. 7:30 start time, 7 o'clock pregame, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
Off the faceoff, won by the Sharks. Addison keeps in on his offside. A right-handed shot. Cues to skate to keep it in play. Dumped it down into the corner. Now there's a three-man scramble. Zetterlund worked it free. Shoots one on that same base. Hoffman the drive. It's blocked in front. Might have gone off the post. Faber couldn't clear it. Kept in by Granlund. Moves into the circle. Shoots. Score! Mikhail Granlund gave the puck with eyes. Up top to the top corner. And it gets by Gustafson. What a brilliant shot by Granlund. Great pressure by the Sharks. And Mikhail Granlund, the former Wild center, makes it 1-0 San Jose with a power play goal.